Morning, and welcome to Installing to Disk. So, hello, and welcome to the Installing to Disk, brought to you by thereticule.com.
Yeah.
Yes, for those of you who don't know who we are, my name's Jordez. I am an ex-video game programmer and currently a video game journalist. And with me is Nicknameless Jay.
Snoop D-O-double-G, radio killer.
No. Nicknameless James is who you are.
Nicknameless Jay is gone, brother.
And that basically sums up Nicknameless James for us.
Yep, bad impressions are not very funny.
And this is Installing to Disk, a fortnightly video game podcast where we try and get some information out of the world, but we just end up normally going off on tangents.
It's quality stuff we've got here.
Indeed. So let's kick things off with
the news.
This is carrying on from a previous podcast over on www.jordez.co.uk. Go check out the back catalogue.
Oh my god. The quality is unmatched.
Indeed.
Really. The quality of the writing is just phenomenal. It's the Schindler's List of podcasts.
Yep. Last week we were speaking about the Double Fine game, which has been being funded through Kickstarter, and the Double Fine game is the first game to make... No, the first thing to ever make over $2 million on Kickstarter.
I believe you predicted this last week.
I did. It's currently standing at $2.2 million, and there's still 2 weeks left.
So, like, are they just going to end up just buying a helicopter? Because they can.
Well, hopefully.
Because they only... Wasn't it 600,000?
They wanted 400,000.
400,000, right.
Hopefully the money will go into a pot to make Psychonauts, but as we said last week, Notch is giving him $30 million to help him make that. So
either way, he has a helicopter now.
Yeah.
Because I would buy one.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Activision has denied blacklisting journalists. This is after a French website reported that Black Ops 2 has been listed on Amazon.
This is the thing that I was meant to include in Retro Roundup, but forgot what it was.
Yep.
And I was meant to write this down and forgot.
That's high-quality journalism right there.
Yeah, I do apologise. I saw it on a website about a week and a half ago and thought, I remember that.
Yes. Well, what happened was a French website just saw that Black Ops 2 was listed on Amazon, which is how we get more or less all of our news cited through Amazon at the moment.
Yeah, Amazon, Blockbuster, Best Buy, Dorothy Perkins.
Yeah.
That's where we find most of our...
Some guys at Activision apparently were contacting this editor trying to get him to pull the story and threatened him with blacklisting. But Activision have denied this, so some random French blogger or Activision, take your side. I know which one I'm going to be on. The PlayStation Vita has now sold 1.2 million consoles worldwide, which is less impressive than it originally sounds, because you got to think, this has been out in Japan for...
Oh, I wasn't impressed anyway.
1.2 million?
Yeah.
For a handheld that cost £230.
I was expecting a lot more than that.
But yeah, it was released, last Wednesday here?
Something like that.
Yes. 1.2 million sales? I think that's pretty decent. You got to think, well, it would be pretty decent had Japan not been, had a head start on us.
Yeah.
But in the UK, 80% of all models sold are the Wi-Fi version. Yeah, so it shows that pricing is making a big difference, that people are saying, right, that's £50, I'd prefer not to spend, or getting the 3G version. And it also shows that perhaps the whole multiplayer thing and everything and the whole portability aspect of it is being lessened, because people don't... if they're not getting the 3G one, so they'll just be like sat at home playing it if they're playing online.
Yeah. I still don't trust 3G. But it's very expensive, and I can't say ever using it that it has been as easy and powerful as just Wi-Fi. I just don't get why you'd go for the 3G model.
Well, if you're on like on a train, you don't have any Wi-Fi, so you've
on
got
a train, but you've got a window to look out. You'll see like sheep and stuff going past. Yeah. And if you're on one of those cool leaning trains, occupied for hours.
So, what would you like to say about the PlayStation Vita?
We mentioned it in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You had played one, I hadn't, and so after the podcast, I went to go and have a go with one. And if you're one of my 7 followers on Twitter, you will know I wasn't overly impressed.
As one of your 7 followers, I did not know this.
Didn't you?
No.
Well, the other six are just bots trying to advertise porn sites, so you probably don't. Well, does that mean that none of my Twitter followers look at anything I do?
In fairness, I've not been on in the last week, so
that's fine. I'll forgive you. But anyway, yeah, I played on the model there, and it looks gorgeous, feels gorgeous to hold. It just feels very nice, looks amazing. And then the loading began.
What game were you playing about?
Wipeout.
Wipeout.
And the loading commenced, and the loading commenced a little bit more, and then when about three or four people had bought things, the loading finished, because I was playing it in a shop. And then I thought, yeah, this is nice, I'm enjoying this, playing it, looks nice. And then you've got the feature where you can like quit to the home screen, can't you? It like slides across.
Yeah.
And twice it froze on me, halfway between the game on one half of the screen, the other side on the other half. Like just halfway between the transition, it stopped. I had to press the home button again, and then it would kind of jerk across.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'll quit this one. Went on Mod Nation Racers, and again, loading started.
That was a big problem with the PS3 version of Mod Nation Racers.
Loading, yeah. So if you like loading, then it's a console you might be interested in. Other than that, I know that's something that I'll probably be able to fix with updates and whatever.
Yeah,
it's not...
Later games will understand the architecture better, so they'll have less loading times. So it'll put off early adopters, but...
I'm not entirely sure where I stand with it at the moment. From someone who's got one, apparently you do need a memory card. Regardless, he tried using his Vita without a memory card, and it had a right paddy with him. It threatened him, refused to talk to him.
One of the interesting things I found is how this generation of portables with the PlayStation Vita and the 3DS is mirroring the last generation identically. The PlayStation Vita /PSP, more technically powerful, it's almost a current generation console.
Yeah.
But a lot higher priced, whereas the more gimmicky 3DS DS is a lot cheaper. It's a lot more fun. It's identical. It's amazing how Sony did not see this.
That's something I didn't think of.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it pans out. Not planning on getting a Vita myself, but there you are.
Another thing we mentioned last week was we're looking at the launch games and saying what we'd have and whatever. Just looking at screenshots of MotorStorm, it's not at all what I expected. I was expecting like PS1 Revolt kind of thing right behind the remote control car, and it's like third person, you're miles away from the track just watching them drive around, so I'm not overly impressed with that.
Yeah, right.
And also I saw online that there's some kind of people have been complaining about small print stuff to do with the 3G model.
Okay.
Because apparently a few places were doing deals where you could get a month free and free games and whatever, but first you have to buy a month to get a month free, and it just turns out to be a really bad deal. And everyone who was talking about it on this particular review who went for this deal just said that, in hindsight, that it had just gone for Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how the 3G's doing in comparison to...
Well, 80% Wi-Fi people are buying.
So, and what's the price difference? Were you saying 50 quid?
It's about 60 quid. But the deals I've seen in like Game and Game Station is they've all been focusing on the Wi-Fi one. So it may be people are saying, "Oh yeah, I want the Wi-Fi one." Where it might be more, the shops are leading them towards the Wi-Fi one through things.
Yeah.
But speaking of Game, they're now able to stock the PlayStation Vita Ubisoft titles. They hadn't during the PlayStation Vita launch date. No details were actually given why. They just said, oh, there's many reasons, but we're not going to have the Ubisoft titles in store. But that's been resolved now, so people will be able to go to Game and buy...
Rayman Origins.
That's the one. So that's the only game Rayman. I would buy. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rayman Origins, which was a nice throwback to older games. And... Well, let's do that now in
the Retro Roundup.
The Retro Roundup, for new listeners, is a section of the show where I task James with playing a game from the past.
Because I'm a bit of a gaming philistine.
Yep. The first game you got into was Driver, so any game before that is our benchmark.
What did we say, 1999 era?
Yes.
Pre that, chances are I haven't played it.
Yep. So this week... Oh no, what were you playing last week?
It
was Fantasy Island Dizzy, wasn't it?
Fantasy something Dizzy.
For the what
console? Spectrum.
Spectrum. Okay. Yep. And what was your verdict on that?
I've written down just a few words that jog my memory on it, and I've just written down inexact jump, impossible, good music. It's essentially a point-and-click game, and as we know, well, for new people, I don't get on particularly well with point-and-click games. I think it was the second game I was ever given was Monkey Island.
Yep.
And it was just painful. I don't get on with point-and-click games for the reason that, here's an example from Fantasy Island Disney. There's one bit where you've got to go down this tunnel thing and there's a rat. And if you go near the rat eats you. Well, it just jumps into you and mauls you and kills you.
Makes sense.
But it does make sense. Just like they don't in real life. And then you've got a few objects. You've got a boulder, a bone, and a loaf of bread. In real life, I would either drop the boulder on the rat or beat it with a bone. Not drop some bread, wait for it to eat it, and then walk off, and then go on my way. I don't like point-and-click logic.
Yeah.
Because it's not logic. You wouldn't do that in real life. In Monkey Island, I don't like having to wait half an hour for someone to walk into a specific place so I can pick up a very specific screwdriver that fits into a very specific screw on a painting that I need to take off and look behind where there's some safe with a code for it that's in another house on the other side of town. I don't like all that. I just want to be able to get a hammer, smash the wall, throw the safe out a window and get it. I don't like logic in point-and-click games. So I didn't like the logic in Fantasy World Dizzy.
Which is a platformer.
Which is a platformer with point-and-click elements,
okay.
I'm going to add. I think I got into the second room before I had to use a video. And it got to a point where I was just watching the video and he was just doing stuff. I was thinking, I would never have thought of any of this. So, yeah, that's the impossible bit. Inexact jump. Jumping is...
Inexact?
Yeah, very inexact. It's just...
Can I point out, you are the person who complained about Super Mario Bros. 3.
That was a crap game, though, to be fair. Let's move on. Good music. As with...
There seems to be a trait that you say quite a lot in the music. Retro Roundup, yeah.
I like music. I think music is very important in video games. And every ZX Spectrum game I've played, out of about the four I've played, they've all had good music. I like them. So I'm not entirely sure what to say with this one. Because I really love the way that ZX Spectrum games look and sound and just the feel of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know those old games where it was all text?
Yes.
And like whatever. Dark, yeah.
Et cetera.
It's like
Adventure, that's a good one.
It's me doing one of those, except it's in Russian. And I can't speak Russian. So I might as well just like hit every button and be like, whatever. So I'm so indifferent towards this, it hurts.
This entire retro round has been hurting me because I absolutely love point and click games. They're my favourite genre.
I don't. Stop giving them to me.
All right. So I'm going to have to push you. What's your verdict?
Indifferent.
No, it's a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Well, new category.
No,
because of Dizzy.
No.
Indifferent.
Thumbs up or thumbs down.
Indifferent.
So thumbs down then.
Indifferent.
So this week, we're going to be playing Metal Gear.
Solid.
No, Metal Gear.
What, like a precursor to Solid?
Yeah, Metal Gear was the first Metal Gear game. It came out in 1987.
Okay.
And you've got a choice of consoles to play it on.
Oh, which is the worst?
Which is the worst? Probably the Commodore 64 version,
I would say. Is it on the Atari 2600?
No.
Oh.
It came out on the MSX2, and then it's ported to the NES and the Commodore 64.
I'll probably play the Commodore version. Because...
Why?
As I've
Why
been,
didn't you play the no, no, good no, no, version no. On
as
the
I've
NES?
Been told with portfolios, I'm building a portfolio as we speak.
Yep.
I've always been told by my tutors and whatever that you're always judged on the worst piece of work. So I'm decided I'm going to judge a game on the worst.
So we're going to be playing Atari 2600 games non-stop?
No, I'm going to be if a game happens to have, if there's an Atari 2600 version of Dead Island 2.
Yep.
I will play that version.
Okay.
That's my new policy.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, this was the precursor to all the Metal Gear games, and it started the hilariously convoluted timeline that would end, like, 20 years later.
I'd just like to add at this point that I have never played a Metal Gear Solid game.
None of them?
None of them.
Really?
At all. I know there's a guy called Raiden who jumps about.
Well, he came in Metal Gear Solid 2 and everyone hated him.
Yep, and I know there's a little robot thing.
Yep. One thing that you will pick up on straight away, the inexact translation.
Oh, that is a potential major plus.
You will notice the first guy you come across, I think, pretty much, you'll understand what I mean straight away.
Okay, I'll look forward to that.
So, yep, your task, Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear.
Yeah. Okay, next up, James's MasterChef summary. MasterChef...
What's happening again? Is this really happening two episodes in a row?
MasterChef.
Okay, new listeners, James is a bit obsessed with MasterChef, so it seems to be...
MasterChef Mission?
Right, you have 1 minute starting from now to talk about MasterChef. Go.
Right, last time spoke, I didn't like Emma. Emma's gone, which I'm happy about. Andy's still there, but he's starting to impress me. Eamon and Jay are both still there. They're both still doing well. Aki, who became more and more annoying as the series gone on, she has finally gone, which I'm happy about, although it was a surprise. So now I'm still backing Eamon or Jay to win.
Okay, thank you. That was your MasterChef miniseries.
Miniseries?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Did you have to say it in such a northern way? Is that what you were saying?
I'm sorry that I have a northern accent.
Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Miniseries. MasterChef. Master
right.
Chief.
So that was the least video game part of the show. Sorry for that. I can't stop him when he goes on his MasterChef rants. But since you're talking, we might as well carry on with you in
James's Rumour Room. Yep.
Which does exactly what it says on the tin.
The Rumour Room, third door on the left in the Sony house. Yes, new listeners, this is where we make stuff up. Talk about other people who've made stuff up. It's a bit more exact than that. I find rumours. Jordan destroys them one by one, and then occasionally some of them end up being true.
Yeah, some of them more nonsensical than other ones.
Yeah, rather unusually.
Like the 3DS second controller add-on.
Yeah.
Which confused the hell out of me.
Have we had any good rumours that turn out to be true?
Yeah, we've had a couple, but...
The Sony fight game?
Yep. The Sony tablets.
Sony tablets, which I'm still waiting for. Yep. I'm still waiting for a test version, if you're listening, Sony. It's one of the first things I mentioned in the podcast ever. I still haven't got one, a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sony, we've had a lot of next-generation console talk with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox Nigel. That is the name of the next Xbox console. We've covered that in the past. Go and listen to it. IGN spoke to Sony Computer Entertainment America president Jack Tretton, and he has basically iterated that the focus is on the Vita and concluded that I quite frankly would be very distracted if I had to be talking about the next generation hardware this year. So apparently, according to Jack Tretton, well, you can take what you want from that. The way I see it, if he's saying that he's going to be very distracted, I've taken from that that he is hand-building each Vita.
Yeah.
Because if there was another console, that means that he wouldn't be able to hand-build each Vita, and he'd have another console, so he's going to be overstretched. So if this is the amount of work that he's having to do, I've got a lot of respect for him. If not only is he the president of Sony Computer Entertainment America, but he's also there on the factory floor when he leaves the office, like Johnny Five.
I have no idea what you're talking about anymore, to be honest.
It summarises the podcast, doesn't it? Sticking with PlayStation 4 news. Before we go on to that, do you want anything to say about that? Drac? Why am I calling him Drac? He's not Dracula.
I'll say the same thing I say every time with the PS4. It's definitely feasible, but it's probably not going to happen for another year.
Yes. As I was about to say, sticking with the PS4, according to Forbes, Sony's now working with AMD instead of Nvidia, which they used to work with. Xbox also uses AMD. They switched a bit before that. It doesn't really mean much difference for us, other than the fact that it could potentially be a roadblock for backwards compatibility.
Well, as the PlayStation 3 proved, that Sony don't care about backward compatibility anymore.
Exactly, so chances are it's all going to be new. Nice sigh there from you, John.
I like backwards compatibility.
I do.
I also like local split screen, but both of them seem to be dying out, so...
Mass Effect 3 DLC was briefly spotted on the Xbox Live Marketplace, entitled From Ashes. The same thing happened with Mass Effect 2, apparently.
I saw a thing on...
A website?
Yes. It was saying that if you bought everything to do with Mass Effect 3, it would cost you $850. I mean, these are stuff like collectible artwork and stuff that you could get with pre-order bonuses.
Yeah.
That's madness.
You could get a very nice fridge for that much.
Yeah.
So we're agreeing with that. Probably. Who cares?
Oh, there's definitely going to be DLC for that. Yeah. I'm almost certain it'll be called that as well.
Again, harking back to one of our recent episodes, I think it was recent, I mentioned the possibility of Rocksteady working on a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Heroes in a Half Shell. Turtle Power.
Yep, that's the one. At the...
Rocksteady, who did Batman, Arkham Asylum, and Arkham City.
Yep. At the 2012 Toy Fair, happened somewhere, didn't write it down, there were posters like talking at great length about the partnership that's now between Nickelodeon and Activision, and Ubisoft's video game license expired last year for them to be able to use the Little Turtles. So...
I'll be quite happy to see a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game by Rocksteady.
Yeah.
All the Rocksteady games I've played have been good, and a couple of the TMMT ones have been good as well. So,
what episode are we on?
I did. 21, but this is... Technically it's 21. Well, technically it's like 25, but...
Right, okay. Well,
we're going back to number one just to stop any confusion, okay. But we've done 24 previous ones.
About a year ago, when we were doing the podcast, we had the iPad 2 rumour.
Yep.
And now, 1 year on, quite poetically, we've got the iPad 3 rumours.
Someone cynical might just say that they're doing really small updates and releasing it at the same time, and people seem to be buying them for no apparent reason.
Well, it is understandable how someone can think that, but let's go through the rumours so far, and let's evaluate the situation on a point-by-point basis and come to some sort of conclusion. Rumours so far. Release, Q2 2012. Before the end of the world, get it in quick. Apparently it's going to be using a quad-core CPU, and the screen size seems to be quite indecisive. It's either 9.7 inches, 7 inches, or 8 inches. And it's going to be what's called a retina display. I was going to research it, explain how it works. I've got no idea, but apparently it's a lot better quality than
the iPhones use a retina display, and that's why they look so sharp and crisp, yep. Despite not having like any better resolution.
And this brings me on to the next point. The camera. Rear camera.
Oh, we mocked this last time.
We did mock this. Get ready to mock it again. The rear camera is 8 megapixel, and the front camera is 2 megapixel. Which, once again...
What can you do with a 2-megapixel camera?
Yeah, but once again, these are cameras that would have been impressive about 3 years ago. So, you've got to tip your hat to them for being consistent.
Yeah, I had my Motorola Razr, which I had in 2004, had a 2.4-megapixel camera.
Oh, but that was wicked, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, this just brings me back to the display. What I don't get about iPads is just how they'll put screens on them that at the time were just so crisp and clear, so that if you had a picture of Madonna, for instance, you'd be able to see the seams around her face and limbs where the rubberized skin fits over the titanium exoskeleton, and you'd be able to see the joints. That crisp a screen.
Yeah.
And then they give you a camera that will lovingly capture an image of a beautiful vista in about 12 pixels. I don't get why they do it. There's no logic there, to me anyway. So, cameras, not impressive at all. Storage capacity, the standard you expect, 32, 64, 128, no 16 this time. And some magic here, standby time of 50 days. Unnecessary, yeah, and adding to this, Best Buy have dropped their iPad 2 prices. So, is it a sign, Jordan? Who knows? Here's some news that I found interesting. No one else will, but I don't care because it's my news. I'm saying it. Mentioning the camera, Nokia, who I have a really strong allegiance to, they've unveiled their new camera phone, the 808, and it's got a 41 megapixel camera on it. How incredible is that? So, we can conclude this episode of the Rumour Room, this section, with the fact that Apple, once again, are in the past, and Nokia, once again, are in the future.
I'm just interested whether these iPad 3s will be backward compatible as well, because games like Infinity Blade and other ones, they're starting to look pretty good, and if... I know the developers of Infinity Blade say they want to keep everything available on all the different iterations of the iPad.
Just saying that's just made me think, actually, that is a very good point. Because the amount of times that the last time I went on an iPad, the amount of games that have a game version than the HD version for the iPad 2. Being a developer who specifically makes games for iPads, having the iPad 3, your development cycle is going to have to be that quick to get games out before Apple drop the next iPad.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, because there was a lot of panic like last year and the year before that the games industry is going to be rocked to the core by all the like pound games and stuff. So whether this might see it going downhill, I don't know. But yeah, that was your rumour room.
That was my rumour room.
Let's now move on to
the release schedule,
which is all the games from last week and the upcoming week. And I've got them written down here, so I don't know why I'm clicking everywhere.
It just makes you sound as if you're in more of a studio environment.
Yep. On the 22nd, F1 2011 came out for the PSP. I hope I've read that wrong.
You read that right.
It's 2012 right now.
Yes.
And F1 2011 is coming out.
We've been through this, Jordan. I explained why it's the correct way of doing it. I'm not going through it again.
Okay, that's on the PSP. Also on the 22nd, Blaze Blue Continuum Shift Extended, which is going for the title of longest title, came out for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Is the use of extended added only to extend the name of the title?
I think it's kind of like a Gillette situation, where just like throwing adjectives after it now.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
On the 24th, Syndicate came out for the PC, PS3 and 360. Also on the 24th, The Last Story for the Wii came out. One of the few good games for the Wii now.
The Last Story? Is that going to have a sequel? Or is this a sequel? Because if it gets a sequel, you know something's wrong.
Well, Final Fantasy begs to differ.
Final Fantasy doesn't exist to me.
After 13-2, it doesn't to me either. Beside the point, though, on the 28th, Binary Domain came out for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. On the 2nd of March, Alan Wake will be coming out for the PC. Also on the 2nd, Ridge Racer Unbounded is coming out for the PC, PS3 and 360. Is that a new game? New Ridge Racer?
When you mentioned Ridge Racer, then I thought you meant the PSP. The Vita game.
No.
But if it's something... Was there a trailer or was that Burnout? I can't remember. Actually, there was a video, wasn't there?
Well, in my head, all arcade racer games have become Burnout, so yeah. I can't differentiate them.
But yeah, Ridge Racer.
And finally, on the 6th, the Silent Hill HD Collection will be coming out.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be looking pretty. And well, it'll still look ugly, but you'll be able to see it very clearly.
When are the companies going to listen and make Midnight Club 2 HD?
Never, because Midnight Club 2 was a terrible
Midnight Club 2 was incredible.
Next year we're saying Conflict Desert Storm 2 was good.
Conflict Desert Storm 2 was incredible.
No, it was a terrible, terrible game.
It was fantastic.
Did they still make those, by the way?
What, Conflict?
No, Midnight Clubs.
Midnight Clubs. LA was the last one. And that was sublime. I had that on the PS3. I wasn't expecting much from it. It turned out to be, without a doubt, really one of the best games I've ever played.
Okay. I think I had one for PSP.
Dub edition.
I think so.
All right, Dom.
But, yes, if you want more insightful commentary on video games, not from us, thankfully. I might be doing one or two of the things.
This stuff seems to be put together. That we're about to mention, looks as though it's been put together by sentient beings unlike us, who just talk about MasterChef.
Yeah, this is over at thereticule.com. Chris Evans has been posting his impressions on the PlayStation Vita. Chris has also got a King Arthur 2 verdict. There's also a review for Dear Esther by Steph Waugh. I'm sorry, Steph, but your name doesn't go well with my voice, so my accent kind
of... Don't want me to try and put a bit of a brummy twang on it.
All right.
Whoa.
Okay, we've got the worst accents for vowels, don't we?
How's about Snoop Dogg? Whoa.
Sorry about that. And finally, there is...
Chris Evans has done something called Project Cars Adds New Member Tier, and there's a picture of a car, so check that one out if you like cars.
Cool. So yes, this is our first episode of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disc. Hope you've all enjoyed it. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So, any last words, James?
All I can say really is MasterChef. The competition's really going to be tightening up, so don't know what to expect.
And I, as per usual, will go with goodbye. Goodbye.